This podcast is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? You better visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That is 208-467-7468.
Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started. Hi, Kelly. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Excited to be here.
It's going to be so cool to hear your story. I know that, there's so many people out there that want to hear what you've gone through and how that can help them in their own journey. So it's so excited to see what you have to say.
Likewise.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we're glad you're here. So where do we start? My goodness. Everybody's journey is always so different, but yet so similar in a lot of ways. So where do you want to start with us? Misdiagnosis, when did all this start for you?
Yeah, and we can just start with that. You know, I feel like everybody's journey who I talk to, the similarity is having absolutely no idea what's going on, and really having no similarity, which is, I think, part of the problem with doctors not being able to diagnose this. For me, my problem started as orthopedic problems. So I had a lot of joint and muscle pain, was when I first noticed it. I had thrown out my back. I ended up having back surgery. And, you know, within a few years, I started just having all kinds of random, what I thought were unrelated symptoms. And following in the whole Western medicine, you know, what we've been taught, you go to different doctors for different specialties for everything. And I just found myself going to a whole host of different types of doctors, and everybody was treating their little acute section of my body. But nobody really tied together that all of these seemingly disconnected symptoms potentially had a root cause.
What kind of symptoms were you dealing with? I mean, what was it? Just, you said orthopedic. I mean, so it was just bone pain, hip pain, back pain. What was going on?
So for me, it started with my back. I ended up having back surgery after about 2.5 years being undiagnosed, after which I started having a lot of GI problems. I had, unfortunately, unnecessary butthole surgery twice, which didn't heal because I was so inflamed and I had so many GI type symptoms. And again, you know, you go to a surgeon and you show up and you say, fix me. And what do they say? They say, okay, I'll cut you. Okay. So I went because I was having a lot of GI problems, and I went to a colorectal doctor and they're like, oh, the solution is going to be surgery. Well, the problem was having an infection like Lyme. My body was so inflamed that it didn't heal properly. So, in addition to that, I had a lot of mental problems. I was diagnosed depressed. I was on depression medication for 6 months. It did me absolutely no good. I had a lot of brain fog, which for me, what was interesting, what I realized years down the road was I used to drink quite a bit. I used to drink about six nights a week alcohol. And I think when my brain hurt, I had a craving to numb that pain. And I would drink, like I said, six nights a week, you know, a glass of wine or a cocktail seemed like a great idea. And what's really interesting to me is now that I'm better, I never drink. I don't have those cravings. So, you know, I often wonder for people who struggle with, you know, with some type of alcohol or drug abuse, if there is potentially something else that is causing some brain inflammation problems that could be contributing to that.
And I also know that a lot of times the bugs in themselves, I mean, they hijack the nervous system, you know, hijack the brain. So if there is a food source that they're looking for, like, you know, the sugar and alcohol or you know, fast food, etc., they're actually going to tell your brain that this is what you need. And so you are going to continually feed them for their own survival.
And that makes a lot of sense. Like I said, now that I'm better, I don't have those types of cravings. I've cleaned up my diet a lot. And I think it's a big miss that a lot of doctors will send you to different types of specialists instead of sitting down with you and taking the time to really get a full patient picture of what's going on to be able to diagnose a root cause problem like Lyme disease.
So you went through two anal surgeries, unnecessary, and a back surgery. And then did you finally get a Lyme diagnosis?
So again, that was kind of just the beginning of me having problems so I was sick, undiagnosed with a bunch of random stuff going on for 6 years. That was the first probably 3.5 years of my journey. It kind of got to be a joke amongst my coworkers that I was quote unquote clumsy because I would show up with weird ailments, you know, out of the blue that I didn't do anything extravagant. And yet I can't walk today. My foot doesn't work or my knee doesn't work. So it really was just kind of the beginning of almost a snowball falling down a hill, which, you know, after 6 years of that, I was fortunate enough, I started seeing a naturopathic doctor and she kind of put the brakes on everything and said, whoa, all this stuff going on, this is bizarre. Like you are a healthy, I played two sports in college. I was a runner for 20 years. Like I've always been a very healthy person. And just knowing my lifestyle and seeing what I was dealing with, she thought there has to be more here. And she actually is who we ran about $6,000 worth of blood testing, the results of which were that I either have 20 very rare diseases or some kind of an infection.
Well, usually the solution tends to be the least extravagant. I mean, so if you have a common denominator and that can cause all those different factors, and you tend to go to that common denominator instead of thinking that it's all those, how many rare diseases, 20 of them?
20.
20, yeah, yeah. And what's fascinating, I wouldn't say fascinating, but one of the telltale signs with Lyme is that it moves from one area to another, and all of a sudden you have a symptom in one area, and then it moves to another area, and then all of a sudden you have a symptom there. Yeah, you know, that tends to be that telltale sign of Lyme, you know, because they can move around. I mean, they're so fast. I mean, they can move from the knee to the shoulder within seconds almost. I mean, it's amazing how they don't go through the bloodstream. They just burrow through, you know, tissue. Yeah.
It is,
you know,
crazy.
And it's unfortunate that physical therapists also are not better educated on that, because I went to physical therapy for years and I actually had my physical therapist laugh at me. And he told me, are you faking this? Are you looking for attention? And I'm going to him seeking help. And 1 week my elbow wouldn't work. And so I couldn't do whatever exercise he wanted me to do with my arm. But then the next week, miraculously, my arm was fine and my foot didn't work, or my back was sore. And, you know, I will say too, it's really mentally challenging to go through something as horrific as Lyme and complicated, and to have the people who you're going to seeking answers and seeking help, and to have them, you know, doubt you and ask you if it's something else. So that also, I think, was really hard. And I wish that there was better education in those types of modalities as well.
Yeah. Talking about education. Well, first I wanted to bring this up. So along with you, Kelly, when I was working, trying to fight my way through, trying to figure out what was wrong with me, it was crazy. I would be there one day and my coworker would look at me and say, oh, I thought it was your legs that were hurting, not your arms. Well, as a matter of fact, yes, my legs have been hurting, but today it's my arm. And they seriously, I mean, I thought we were friends. You know, we had built a decades worth of relationship, you know, through work. And they just absolutely think that you're crazy. So it's very, very sad. But yes, we need more education to the public. We need more education for the doctors. When I was sitting here waiting to get this podcast started today, I heard some ladies in here laughing, doing their own podcast. And I thought, gosh, I can't wait to find out what theirs is all about. I want to listen to it. And so when they finished, I started talking to them and they asked what my podcast was going to be about. And I said, well, certainly not as much fun as yours was, because I thought for sure there was a half a dozen ladies in there and there was only two. They were just having way too much fun. So anyways, I had said it was about Lyme disease. And one of them had mentioned that they had just found our podcast and they listened to the first episode. And the other one said that her sister has suffered with Lyme for most of her life. And just not that long ago actually got a diagnosis of Lyme. And she's basically been bedridden for the majority of her life. And she's given up on ever living a life, ever having a family. And it's just so terribly sad that with all the technology we have today, and all the knowledge of so many things that we can do, that we can't get professionals, first of all, to believe us when we tell them that we don't feel good, and then we can't find people that can treat us properly. So thank you again for joining us, because that is why we're here and we're all doing this, is to raise awareness about this.
And one of the biggest issue is that, I mean, like you're saying, you go into all these different specialists and they all specialize in their little area, their little kind of niche. And none of them are then taking a step away to look at the whole picture. And you had to then go to a naturopathic doctor, it tends to be a functional doctor, a naturopathic doctor, someone like that, that is taking that step away and looking at the whole picture, rather than your back is hurting and now we need to do surgery on your back, or you have GI issues and now we need to have anal surgery. I mean, yeah, it's we need to have, like you're saying, we need to have people that are more educated, more aware, and willing to step away from their perception and their little area and look at the whole picture.
Yeah, you know, and I will say too, I really regret not taking more responsibility for myself sooner also. You know, I had these types of problems and I still ate a bunch of garbage and I still drank, you know, six nights a week. I also think as patients, as society, we need to take ownership of our health. We need to take responsibility. You know, we can't show up to a doctor's office and say, give me a pill and fix me. I mean, that's just part of it. Having a great doctor on your team, I owe my doctors my life, quite literally. But they couldn't have done it alone. You know, I had to fight. And I had to be willing to change my life to make myself better and fight for me. You know, I'll also say I spent 5 of the past 10 years primarily in bed, very sick, and I'm better now. So I'd also like to say to anybody listening who's in that situation, who's been sick for a very, very long time, there is hope. You can get better. I did it. I fought for my life and I won. And that's why I'm here today. So.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you look amazing. So I'm glad you feel as amazing as you sound. So can
may,
you
tell- may I interject on that too, though? Just something real quick. You know, that's another thing I do want to point out. I've always looked good. And I don't mean that in a conceding way. I mean that in a way that it was also hurtful to try to tell people I'm sick and they look at me and they say, oh, but you look just fine. So I think that's also an important part of this education to doctors. And I had doctors tell me that too. What do you mean you feel this way or that way? You look great. You know, you can't judge illness just like you can't judge a book by its cover, right? Like, what does sick look like? And I think that that is also part of the challenge that we have as a society is to not put a picture on that, because I was extremely sick and other people who maybe didn't look as good as me were perfectly healthy.
I agree. Absolutely. And it got, you know, I think I mentioned to Dr. Carlfelt that at times when I was really sick, I wished that I had a broken leg, so I had a cast, or I wished that I had had cancer, so I had no hair. So it was visibly, you know, open to everybody to see that something was wrong with me, because I was so independent that I didn't want to give that freedom away. So I would fight to go to the grocery store, and I was so terribly embarrassed to ride in one of those electric carts because I looked perfectly fine. And if I had cast on, I wouldn't have been embarrassed at all. Or if I'd had, you know, my hair wrapped because I had no hair, it would have been okay. So it is hard. It is hard. But I'll tell you, when I was able to leave my house and it was for just a doctor's appointment, I got up and I did my hair and I did my makeup. It killed me. It took me half the day, but that was the only living I got to do, was go see my doctor. And so I wanted to look the best that I could look, even though I felt like dying inside. So yes, that's a huge misconception that, you know, we look okay and we're really dying inside.
And then they just run these, you know, general blood tests. You know, they done, you know, like a CBC and CMP and your cholesterol, your lipid panel, you know, and they say, well, your kidneys are fine. You know, everything looks fine. You're perfectly healthy. You know, it's, you know, probably are you dealing with some stressors in your life? You know, maybe you need to see a psychiatrist or a psychologist, maybe something that you need to do in that area, because, you know, healthy, you're as healthy as a horse, you know, there's nothing wrong with you, you look good. And here, you know, the patients that come to me, like yourself, you can barely get out of the house.
Yeah, it's a really big problem. You know, and Tanya, to your point, how many times did we get in that electric cart? And did people stare judgingly while you're unplugging it and getting it ready to go? And then while you're driving around in the aisles, and it really is hard when you don't feel well. I think that we all, and I was really embarrassed. I was terrified when I was sick. I sure as heck didn't think I would be on a podcast talking about that I had, you know, anal surgery with my name attached to it, because I was horrified. I was so embarrassed. And I think we really need to have better understanding and embrace people more, whether it's your friend, whether it's your neighbor, whether it's your coworker. You know, it's really hard to function when you're sick. So to keep that in mind, and you don't know what's going on in somebody else's life. If they want to shop with the wheelie cart, don't judge them for doing that.
more power to them.
You're absolutely right. Kelly, I know this is a hard topic for you, but I think it's super important. And I'd like to know if you could share a little bit with us. As you know, as well as Dr. Carlfelt knows, Lyme really involves your mental illness. It can be very, very much of an isolating disease. You know, and kind of going back to when you said You wanted to drink every night. Why wouldn't we? You know, we're sick. We're going to doctors and they're telling us there's nothing wrong with us. We're fine. Well, why would we not want to do, why would we want to do anything good for our body? Nobody's telling us something's wrong with us. We need to fix it. So go home and drink and numb that pain. So I know for me, I was super fortunate to have a fantastic support group, family and friends. And I honestly could not have done it without them. And I know that you struggled with your journey alone. Can you talk a little bit about that and how important it was to get toxic relationships out of your life to get you on that healing path?
Yeah, you know, and again, I think a lot of people who are sick, we're scared. We become a different person. And when you have people in your life who you think should be there supporting you and loving you, questioning you and judging you, you know, it really does a lot to your psyche, to your hope. I mean, it's never easy to walk away from friends or family. When I lived in San Francisco, I would have told you I had 100 friends. And I narrowed that down to 2. My family, no one in my family has ever been sick. I still don't think they understand or even believe that I was as sick as I was. They certainly didn't show, you know, very much concern or support. They didn't help educate. They still don't know what Lyme disease is. You know, it was really hard to go through it by myself. I mean, I had a few neighbors pitching in. For the most part, it was just me and my dog. But I will say, again, being on the other side of this, for the people who are out there who are alone, I love myself fiercely. There is nothing that will ever happen in my life that I cannot overcome because I beat Lyme and I did it by myself. So I am so empowered now. You know, going through it was awful. I certainly would never minimize that and I wouldn't wish that experience on anybody. But you know what? I stood up for myself. I became my own advocate. I fought 100% every single day. I did all of the medications that were recommended. I did all of the regimens that were recommended and I won. And I'm here telling my story. And I just really want people to know that regardless of if you have a huge family and friends and support group helping you, or if you are, you know, getting by doing your dishes once a week because you can barely stand to load the dishwasher and you have no one else to come do it for you, it's okay. You can still do this. I went so far, in fact, that I married myself. As silly as that may sound, what do you look for in a marriage? You look for somebody to support you, who's always going to be there for you, who's going to do whatever they can for you, especially in the dark times. And in retrospect, I did this after my 4th surgery. I know that I will always be there for me.
Yep. And you are incredibly strong. I know that I still wonder sometimes how I got through what I got through. And that was with an enormous amount of support. And so for you beating Lyme and doing it with Zoe, your little 4-legged baby, you're just an incredible woman, powerful, more powerful than you'll ever know. So super proud of you. So what kind of regimens did you do? What type of treatments do you think worked best for you?
You know, I'd like to mention that Lyme disease is often combined with mold toxicity, metals toxicity, parasites. I mean, you don't just have Lyme bacteria. Lyme beats down your immune system and allows all these other things to come in. So for me, a big part of my journey was also mold. And the toxins in mold were kind of hampering my immune system, preventing me from healing. So for me, you know, I did antibiotics. I also did herbals. I kind of did a good mix of that. I had 5 doctors on my team getting me through. Okay. I literally owe them my life. Team Kelly. And, you know, as far as regimens go, the detoxing regimens were really helpful. For killing the Lyme, it was mostly, like I said, herbals, a handful of antibiotics sprinkled in for short periods of time. I did a laser energetic detox with my mold doctor, where they actually shine a specific frequency of laser light. It sounds totally bizarre, okay? And I'm an electrical engineer. I'd like to point that out. Like, I'm a very science-driven person. So when people suggest something like, we're going to shine a light on you and flicker it, and it's going to heal you.
We actually do that at our center. We actually do laser energetic detox. It's awesome.
That is tremendous because that, for me, was a total game changer. And I don't know very many places that do it. So that is fantastic that you do. I wish more places did. It completely changed my life in about 4 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so powerful because, I mean, you have the frequency of the bile, the substance, you know, be it mold, be it heavy metals, you know, spirochetes or whatever it may be. And you have that electromagnetic signature, that frequency that piggybacks on that laser beam. And you shine that on the individual, and that triggers, it's like you're giving the secret code of Russia to United States, saying that this is all the information about everything that they're doing. Here you go. Now you can defend yourself. And it becomes the same thing. You're giving all that information to the body about this specific pathogen, and the whole being, you know, because you've, the best doctor is your own doctor. Your body is amazing at healing itself if you give it the opportunity. So now you're feeding it with that information about that pathogen, and the whole body, the whole being becomes involved to target that specific pathogen or chemical or metal and so forth. So yeah, it's extremely powerful. I'm really glad you did that.
It was that for me. I had hit a plateau. At that point, I had been in Lyme treatment. I thought the idea of mold was nonsense. How could I have mold inside my body? That's silly. You know, the engineer in me, the practical Western medicine person, thinking, no, that's silliness. And then they talked me into it. And it was, like I said, within 4 weeks, I went from, what am I going to do? I have, you know, I'm at a brick wall, you know, standing on a cliff. And all of a sudden I was better and the Lyme was gone.
That's incredible. That's really cool. And that's what's, you know, seeing how you're marrying the energy healing or kind of frequency medicine along with then pharmaceuticals, you know, a little bit of antibiotic, and then also along then with herbal nutritional. And that is what's important, is to recognize that Lyme is a complex disorder. Like you're saying, you can't just focus on Borrelia, just on the Lyme spirochete. You got to look at the whole picture, and each individual, even though they have similar stories, you know, their disease picture is unique to them because a combination of the pathogens, metals, chemicals, and nutritional deficiencies and emotional traumas and all these things, they play a role, and they're all different, but they come together to create this syndrome, you know, Lyme disease.
Yeah, and treating it, you know, I bought an ion foot bath for my house. I have a red light in my home. You know, these are the kinds of things, again, that if you would have told me like 10, 15 years ago, Kelly, you're going to be soaking your feet in this thing and toxins are going to come out of your body. I mean, I would have told you were nuts, but yeah, as a patient, taking ownership for your healing to say, what is my part? What can I do to get better? And not just relying on somebody else to get you better is really important.
I think that, for you and me, if we didn't advocate for ourselves, we wouldn't be where we are today. So that's definitely super important to do. So you're obviously feeling really well. Do you find that, I know for me personally, that it's a challenge every day to stay healthy. There's a lot of things I've got to continue to detox, keep my body, you know, feeding it good foods, clean foods, and just do a lot of regimens that I kind of incorporate into my daily life to stay Lyme-free, to stay healthy. Do you feel that same way? What are some of the things you do?
You know, I am fortunate that unless I have an event occur, for the most part, I feel pretty good normally. I do take a lot of vitamins. If you saw my vitamin drawer, rather my vitamin drawers, plural, and cabinet, I've learned a lot on this journey. And the great news is because I learned what it all meant, I have a lot of tinctures that I now know what they are, and I can kind of take them and keep myself healthy. I'm definitely much more mindful now if something is off to recognize it. What I will say is now versus from before, I was really depressed when I was younger. I definitely think Lyme is both the best and worst thing that ever happened to me.
I agree.
But I get to live the next 50 years of my life with this gift that I've been given of I wake up every day I wake up and I don't hurt, I'm happy, right? Most people just feel normal and then they're mad if they hurt. For me, if I wake up and I feel good, I am smiling. Every single day when I walk my dog, I am looking at how blue the blue sky is. And I know to most people, they would say that is ridiculous. You know what, when you're stuck in bed for 5 years and you can't go on a walk and you cannot see that blue sky, you'll never appreciate it the same way ever again once you get back, right? So just enjoying the things that I can do and thinking of life as such a gift. I'm gonna turn 40 this year. I know a lot of people who really panic about a lot of stuff that I now consider nonsense. And I am just so grateful to have this perspective that, oh, okay, I have a few wrinkles. I could care less. I don't hurt.
Exactly. I absolutely agree. I didn't ever think that I took many things for granted, but it really is eye-opening when you go through a Lyme journey, about how your perspective on a lot of things change. You know, I used to just pray that one day I could walk, and actually walk normal. And to look at where I am now, it's truly amazing. So I am super grateful every time I can walk and walk my dog and get outside. And so just like you, so it was a horrible thing to go through, but it also, If anything, the best thing about it is creating a lot of really good, amazing friendships, like with you, Kelly. So that's one of the good things that came out of Lyme for me.
And I love how you're talking about, you know, how you appreciate life more, how the sky is more blue, you know, because you're really looking at it, you're experiencing it. I did an interview with on my radio show that I do, Health Made Radio. As an author, Ruth Richards. You know, she's a professor, and she wrote a book about conscious living. You know, where you're experiencing life, you really put forth that effort to experience life and be aware of that flower, that tree, that bird singing, that, you know, being aware of the little details instead of just rushing through at 100 miles per hour through life and not recognizing the beauty that exist around us, or the beautiful, that the gifts that are given us, you know, a day where we don't hurt, you know, that gift that's given to us. I mean, and I think that's such a tremendously important lesson, you know, when we're dealing with rough things, is to enhance the good things.
Absolutely agree. I call it the gift of Lyme, the perspective I have gained.
I love it. I love those words.
Well, Kelly, is there anything else, any other kind of advice that you would like to give, you know, somebody that's on their journey, just been diagnosed or trying to figure out what's going on with them? I mean, what additional advice would you tell them, you know, from where you're at right now?
Yeah, I mean, probably the biggest piece of advice is never give up on yourself. If you go to a doctor and a doctor tells you that you have some horrible, incurable disease and you're going to be stuck dismal for the rest of your life and there's no answers, find another doctor. You know, if you know that there is something wrong and that you are not crazy and that this should not be the way it is, don't let people tell you otherwise. And if they do, then walk away. You don't need that in your life. Fight for yourself, be your own advocate, you know, find other people who've been through it, who can help guide you. And, you know, just know that in the end, when you get better, you are going to be so resilient and strong in a way that other people just, they just have no recollection of how it could possibly be. I am happier than most anybody I know because I am so content with the awesome life that I now get to live. And I'm grateful for the experience, truly. And I'm grateful to be on this show and to have the opportunity to share with other people. I really hope that somebody listens to this and thinks, you know, I'm alone, I'm stuck in bed. I thought there was no hope, and holy cow, she was in the same spot. And I hope that you can hear the sincerity of joy in my voice, that I really am happy having gone through this. So, and thank you to both of you for creating the space and the opportunity to share.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Kelly.
It's been such an honor to have you on the show. And yeah, I mean, it's, talk about realizing the strength and the power that exists within you when you've gone through such a journey. And that's incredible. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, this is Dr. Karlfeldt. I just wanted at the end of this segment, just add a little bit of tips in regards to Lyme disease. I mean, there's so many facets that we need to think about in regards to what to do. A lot of times we tend to get hyper-focused on just the Lyme and not recognize that there are so many other aspects along with it. You know, we start to just use herbs or antibiotics and things to just kill the Lyme, but not recognize that we are dealing with an individual or a person that the Lyme exists within. And I've talked a little bit in prior episodes about the importance of detoxification and clearing out toxins and opening up the four pathways of elimination. But an additional component is to maximize also the nutritional quality of your body. And with that comes along diet and nutrition. You know, so diet, obviously, you want to then avoid things that feed bugs. And what feeds bugs? Well, usually garbage food feeds bugs. So if you do heavy sugar, heavy white flour, you do bad quality fats, all of these things are going to put your body at a disadvantage in order to be able to fight these bugs off. So even if you then use the best pharmaceutical or nutritional agent to kill the Lyme or kill whatever other co-infection that's there, if you don't support your own health nutritionally at the same time, these bugs, they are opportunistic, so and they're not fully going to go away. So it's not like I've killed Lyme and now have no Lyme in my body anymore. These spirochetes, we all have spirochetes. I would say pretty much, I'd be surprised if we find one individual that does not have some kind of spirochete or Lyme bug in them. But the reason they're not symptomatic is because that their health is at a different level. And they are there because they are eating better, or nutritionally they are at a better spot. So it is important to then really go through and analyze, you know, what am I eating? What am I nutritionally, you know, where am I at nutritionally? Am I low in vitamin D, for instance? You know, vitamin D is crucial for immune system. Am I low, you know, do need to load up on vitamin C, on, you know, vitamin E, vitamin A, B vitamins? I mean, where are all these? My mineral content, you know, like Lyme is known to actually trigger the body to start to eliminate a number of nutrients, you know, specifically things like zinc. You know, zinc is crucial when you're dealing with Lyme. And actually the Lyme bug, the spirochete, it triggers a process in the body where you start to pee out more zinc than you normally would, causing you to be more zinc deficient, which means that your immune system becomes suppressed because it needs zinc in order to be able to function, which means that the Lyme is then able to have a happier home in your body without the immune system going after it. So, you know, consider to add these different nutrients while you're then also supporting the killing aspect of going after the Lyme, you know, with your diet and nutrients. Hello, this is Dr. Karlfeldt. This is my little segment after our awesome interview that we just had. One of the things that we also need to consider is that we are dealing with co-infections as well. You know, it is not just the spirochete Lyme we're dealing with. We're dealing with parasites, viruses, mold, and all of these components are important to look at. You know, we can't just start, you know, killing Lyme frequently, you know, going after, you know, the Borrelia bug, which is the spirochete that is associated with Lyme. Usually you almost want to wait with that until later on in the treatment and start to go after other things like, you know, mold is a crucial component to look for, and using then natural agents and even pharmaceutical agents to go after mold. And there are a lot of strategies you can use in regards to that. And then after that, you know, Bartonella is a co-infection, and it's known to cause all those kind of bone pains, and you have that catch-scratch fever. There's a certain kind of skin look that you get that's very very related to the Bartonella. So mold, Bartonella. Then you want to look at parasites. You want to look at retroviruses, viruses. You know, the different herpes viruses. So you want to look at the whole picture and see which ones it is that I'm dealing with. And it's not always just that kill one and then go to another one. Sometimes you want to make sure that you go after them as a whole, so that you could put pressure on all these different pathogens, you know, so that you, while you then at the same time support the body nutritionally so it can stay strong, because, you know, when you're going after all these bugs, your body becomes like a battlefield. And, you know, you want to make sure that you keep that battlefield as healthy as possible, because it is taxing going after all these different bugs. So while you're then going after the bugs, you know, keeping the nutritional level up, and make sure that you look at all these different components. And what's fascinating with Lyme, you know, Lyme disease, you know, since it is not just the spirochete, it is all these different bugs together, it becomes the combination of these bugs that creates your symptoms. So that's why each individual is unique, because one can have more parasites and a little bit more of the Babesia, and then it has some of the Borrelia, and then along with maybe a little bit of mold. And, you know, so that can be one individual, and the other one has maybe cytomegalovirus and chlamydia pneumoniae. And then so it is important to look at, you know, what are some of the big ones that I'm dealing with, you know, going after them. There are tests that you can use in order to be able to do that. Even though there are tests, you know, don't become fully focused on the test, you know, completely, but use them as a guideline, because it is known that many of these infections don't always fully show up in the test, because one of the things with Lyme is that it is fantastic in suppressing the antibody response, which is what a lot of times we measure in order to be able to detect them. So again, look at, it's not just a Borrelia, it's all these different bugs together, and you want to be able to address them all as a whole.
The information in this podcast is for educational purposes only, and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com. And an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.